The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com. We got a chance to talk to Dennis Fell and Barry Dale at the Next Conference in Boston about their presentation on neuroplastic changes in orthopedic patients. They also had a presentation about using technology in the clinic, for example, a handheld accelerometer built into your cell phone.
This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. Continuing our coverage at the APTA's Next Conference here in Boston, Massachusetts. Last night, I'm recovering right now. Last night was the APTA Foundation for Physical Therapy, Boston PT Party, their gala event. Go into that, get all fancied up. You can check out the pictures on our social media accounts. You'll see what I'm talking about when I say I wore a ridiculously over-the-top suit. Go there because it's more eye candy than it is ear candy. Joined today by a couple gentlemen. I want you guys to introduce yourself. No stranger to the show.
My name is Dennis Fell. I'm the chair of the physical therapy program at the University of South Alabama. 25-year member of the APTA.
I like how you add that in there because I hear that more and more. People, you know, using that as a thing of pride.
Yeah.
You know, a continuous member for this many years. I like that very
Definitely.
Much. And this is your third time back on the show.
It is.
You know how they Exciting. Do, they do like, you know, Steve Martin, I think, is the guy who has the most hosting duties on SNL. And you're up there. I don't know. Three, I think. You, Stefania Bell, Sky Donovan, those people have had three or more. So you're it, man.
Thanks.
So welcome back.
Glad to be
and
here.
We got a newcomer, first timer.
I'm the newbie, Barry Dale. I'm on faculty at the University of South Alabama. Teach kinesiology and orthopedics. And I'm a 23-year member.
Wow.
Of APTA, but and excited to be here.
Before we get into what you guys are talking about, because you're not only just coming to experience Next, you're also presenters, so you're part of the content. Let's talk about what we just mentioned. Why did you join? Why are you still a member? What's one thing you grab onto?
Well, the APTA can't work without people. We are APTA, so
it'd be a pretty boring party without all the people.
It definitely
yeah.
would, and nothing would get done. So I think more and more people who maybe have been watching from the edges and observing should look for ways to really connect.
Yeah.
Either in big ways or in small ways. If a lot of people connect and do things in small ways, it makes a big impact.
It gets done. People think that I'm out there selling the APTA. I'm not paid by the APTA. I don't work for them. I tell people, if you're on the fence, go to an event first. Don't become a member. Go to an event first. If you still don't want to be a member after an event, you're not going to find anything. You're not going to find anything else. But right. you get it, or you won't after you come, if you come to an event, any of them. And I'm talking, you know, local, state, or national. You can do any of those.
Exactly.
You'll start to get it. You'll start to feel it. So why'd you stick around? Why are you sticking around so long?
The association gives strength in numbers and represents the profession politically in Washington. And obviously we have a strategic location there in Virginia
yep.
for just that reason. I think that's important. And I think, you know, these meetings help to further our profession. And really what I mean by that is you get all this smattering of ideas, the collection of the contemporary research and what seems to be working in clinical practice. And so that's where I think, as you mentioned, drawing in the students or folks that are maybe on the fence that want to be the best physical therapist possible. This is one way to do that. There
yeah.
are other ways too, but this is one way.
Yeah, doing it in a silo is probably not gonna happen. So let's talk about why you guys are here tomorrow. You guys have a presentation coming up on Saturday as we record, tomorrow as we record. What are we talking about?
Well, tomorrow's talk is looking at the new research coming out about some of the neuroplastic changes following orthopedic injury.
How okay, so merging those two things.
Yeah.
That's where you guys come in,
and
neuro-ortho.
Yeah, so we're exactly, which is kind of funny. We're the yin and yang of of this talk. But and we should also acknowledge our co-presenter, Dr. David Morissette, who's also on the ortho side. So we're outnumbering neuro a little bit in the talk, so 2-1. But we're looking to maximize motor control through motor learning strategies, you know, in the face of those neuroplastic changes that occur. And there's some really fascinating research. I would say, you know, as a little teaser to the talk, there some of the presentation doesn't necessarily present earth-shattering strategies per se. There's a lot of the research reinforces what we've been doing, for example, like TENS and cryotherapy, but we will highlight why they are important at various phases of rehabilitation. And then what we can do in some of the newer research in terms of how can we structure exercise programs to be maximally effective.
Yeah. That's what we want. Yeah. And I heard from my neuro professor at Marymount University, you're not going to find an ortho patient without a nervous system. You're not going to find a neuro patient without a musculoskeletal system. So we're PTs. Yes, we wound up being specialists and we specialize maybe a little bit, but you know, seeing a presentation like this with some ortho PTs and neuro PT like Dennis, it's good to make sure you remember those other systems.
Exactly. The whole neuroplasticity piece is so important because I think in the past, at least, I've treated a few, maybe a handful of orthopedic patients in my life. Most of those were on clinical experiences. But the focus in the past has been on the peripheral mechanism. What can I do to make the muscle bigger so it can get stronger, so that it can strengthen that movement or strengthen the stability around that joint? But it was really all focused around repetitions and doing things to influence that peripheral.
Right.
But now, with all that we know about neuroplasticity, motor learning principles to try to enhance that neuroplasticity, if we can combine what we're doing to try to strengthen the muscle with an increased ability of the brain to control that peripheral mechanism and create those new connections and new cells in the brain, then it's even better. It's even richer. It's even more effective.
Yeah, you said there's nothing earth-shattering that you guys are going to present, but you know, sometimes the more practical application of this earth-shattering stuff we already know all this stuff, but how do we get it into practice? Or maybe I just need some great examples, and you know, bringing an ortho PT and neuro PT up and saying, hey, here's what's happening when you're a neuro PT or when you're an ortho PT, which part of the brain you're using. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but if it can help somebody, and that's what you alluded to, is that's what we want to, how do we get them better faster?
And I guess I should clarify a little bit what I meant by the not so earth-shattering piece, and that would be, say, for example, cryotherapy,
right,
and TENS application. I mean, we've used that to control,
right,
pain for a long, long time. What's interesting, though, is we haven't necessarily always understood exactly what are some of the mechanisms behind their, at least
that
perceived.
Why.
Yeah. And so besides just the pain control, I mean, there are some interesting changes within the motor system, you know, and in the higher centers for motor control that are happening in the face of that as a treatment. And so I think it helps to, again, like I said, reinforce the why. And then, of course, the practical side of that is, okay, now that we have maybe the pain control piece there, what can we then do on the therapeutic exercise side, which is kind of my passion in terms of trying to maximize those repetitions and those sets that we put together for the patient to create that overload for the adaptive response. And that's what's fascinating. And I think that's what's really interesting when you look at the research that's coming out now. And I think in my mind, that maybe falls closer to the earth-shattering side of things, in that it's amazing to see the research and where they're showing sections of the brain that change in response to something as simple as using external cues with your therapeutic exercise prescription. And I know as a profession, I don't think, well, we haven't necessarily been on the forefront of doing that. I think the coaching profession has really pioneered a lot of that. I think the research on our side is starting to come out now to really help it.
I worked for a guy when I was fresh out of school, Carlos, who was on the show before, and he came to PT from an ATC coaching background, and he brought a lot of those principles in. As soon as you said that, I thought of him, yeah, because he'd do simple things, like he'd just tell someone to do something and he'd walk away. He wouldn't overcoach him. He'd, yeah, watch how they did it. I'm going to get to both of you guys to answer the same question. How do you explain this to a patient, or do you? These dueling principles, if you're working with a patient who's not necessarily ortho and you're working with a patient who's not necessarily neuro, how do you bring it up, or do you?
The massive number of repetitions that have been shown to really create change in the brain says immediately that it all can't happen in my treatment time. So it really has implications for the dosing of activity and specific repetitions and even the intensity of those repetitions once they get home, and how they're going to continue the things that I've told them. And they need to understand how important that is. I think the real Yahoo moment for me is to think about the fact that it's not that we're just trying to take advantage of neuroplasticity that's happening in the brain. As therapists, environment that we create and the activities that we create for them, it's actually what drives that neuroplasticity. We're the ones that create it. So we're not just trying to improve their function. We're trying to improve their function through driving their brain to change. To me, that's amazing. We're not neurosurgeons, but we can change the brain.
Isn't that weird? I mean, weird in the coolest way.
Uh-huh.
And I think once a patient gets buy-in on that, you know, and that's where I go, I've said this before on this show, is I thought like patient education was just something you kind of threw in until I started going out my clinicals. I'm like, oh man, if I don't really make an impact in this person understanding it, they're never going to do it at home. So that patient education part, as you're letting them know, making sure they know that it has to be on them outside of your treatment time, you can't measure that, how important that is. How about you? How do you explain it, or do you?
For me, and I think historically, in being a former ACL patient myself, being a PT going through that process.
We're the worst patients, aren't we?
We are the worst patients, absolutely. And I may or may not have been responsible for the need of a second surgery.
Oh, no.
I can present to the patient from a place of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has been good. And what really fascinates me about this particular talk is that I lived that phenomena of arthrogenic inhibition of the quadriceps. And it blew my mind as a young professional in physical therapy, having to go through that. I'd rehabbed or worked with lots and lots of ACL patients. I knew what you were supposed to do, what you weren't supposed to do,
right,
in the various phases. And here I was struggling with this phenomena, and I didn't really feel prepared in dealing with that. And so that's where I think first really became somewhat fascinated and almost infatuated with trying to overcome, you know, thinking that, well, if I just will this long enough and hard enough, I can power through the inhibition piece. So going back to, you know, some of the things we've kind of previously mentioned, it was sort of that tire picture of pain control, and then looking at, okay, well, I'm trying my best to activate the quads. You know, is there maybe another way that I could go about trying to improve my knee extension strength? And so that's where I was, you know, first exposed to the external cueing, and it works. And so I can also, you know, come from that
firsthand.
Yeah.
Thank you for furthering that stereotype that PTs are, in fact, the crappiest patients ever. We don't want to listen to anything.
Exactly.
Want to thank our sponsors, RS Medical Staffing. If somebody out there wants to be a PT, if you're a new grad or a seasoned PT and you want to do PT, you want to do this thing that you like to do, just want to do it somewhere else, short term, long term, doesn't matter. RS has assignments all over the United States, Alaska to Maine to Florida to Arizona to Hawaii. Check them out online, AURUSmedical.com. That's RES Medical. Get signed up. It doesn't cost you, the PT, anything for them to go look for jobs for you. Even help you with your resume, too, because I know a lot of PTs hate writing their own resumes. We're not all good at laying out what we're actually good at. So RES will hook you guys up. Again, that's AURUSmedical.com.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. DJ, Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPinecast at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPinecast for killer savings of 20% off.
Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Our home on the internet.
PTPinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. What else have you guys been drawn to here at Next? Because you guys, day number 3 now. What have been some highlights that you're going to take away and bring back to the students, too? Because I always liked that when my professors would come back and kind of share.
One thing that was quite an honor for our institution, but particularly for Dr. Fell, he was awarded the Lucy Blair Award.
Service Award, yeah. Congratulations. So, I wanted to make sure we got that in.
Yeah, we celebrated that, and that was something nice to see his career and what he's meant to our institution and the profession. The other thing, too, is some of the interactions that we've had with PTs in relating to some of the technologies that are emerging and that can be integrated with clinical practice. We had a session yesterday with using accelerometers to measure movement quality.
Yeah, and talk about that.
That was a fun little talk to put together. Dr. Fell and I both have a shared interest in trying to quantify some of the things that we have historically used more subjectively to observe, you know, if we're watching a patient do a single leg squat. Well, there are ways we can measure that, you know, with 2D video.
If and you do it and I do it, it's different. How do we measure that?
Exactly.
That's what we love. We want to be able to measure and calculate and predict and watch.
Right. Yeah. And so we basically highlighted using a smartphone accelerometer.
So everyone's got one. That's the best part about that technology you brought in. It's not really expensive and everyone's got it.
Everybody's got it.
How'd it work?
So we did a study recently. We've had actually two or three going on, with one with the knee, one with the shoulder, and one with stroke. And so essentially attaching the smartphone to the extremity. And so in this case, I presented a single leg squat study, and the smartphone is attached to the distal thigh. And so the oscillations you can see and appreciate in the accelerometer. So we played a little within the presentation called Which One? And so we had an invited participant to come up and see if he could detect visually which condition the person had stroboscopic glasses on, which just minutely changed the amount of oscillations that they encountered during the single leg squat. And so he actually picked the right one. It was very, very, when we polled the audience before we revealed it, it was about 50-50.
Really?
Which is your odds of getting it right.
Wow. So,
and then we showed the image of the accelerometer, and you could see an uptick in the oscillations, and then that can be quantified, and that's what we were doing with the paper that followed that study.
I mean, I'm not a complete research geek, but right there you just showed the audience was 50-50 shot using the piece of technology, the simple piece of technology, increased the odds of being able to predict.
Yeah, so we had some great interactions following that presentation in terms of some PTs and what they're doing, and there were two or three that have actually developed their own apps, which I was really pleased to hear that. And so there's a lot of stuff that's coming out that's not quite out yet, but coming.
What more is coming now? You said you guys have had three. Are more coming with the accelerometer?
We just finished a project with students this semester related to measuring motor control with accelerometers after stroke. So we're looking at all the traditional measures of motor control. Some of the scales developed over the past 10 years are related to recognition that the early part of movement in the beginning of the range has normal movement, and then at some point is where it turns into that abnormal synergy. So we're looking at trying to quantify the number of degrees that the person moves through
before
using right before it starts. So as the person recovers, they would have a greater
range.
Portion of the range that's normal. So we're using an app called Huddle Technique, which was developed for athletics.
Love that one. Mm. Free too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we use that. Replay in slow motion. You can see when the abnormal finger movements come in, or if they start to elevate the scapula, and pick that moment as the point where the abnormal synergy is starting, and it allows you to draw the angle right there on the screen, and you can figure out how much of the range they have. So we're looking at, we just finished a project with that, submitted it for next CSM, and then
New Orleans
had another one also related to orthopedic. Yes,
that's cool. Yeah, that's a great tool to use. And so, Lucy Blair Service Award. That's a pretty big honor.
I'm very grateful to the association and the faculty who nominated me and selection committee. It was an honor to be there with that group of people that were selected last
year. Yeah.
Night.
Well, on behalf of everybody who's benefiting from your selflessness and doing all the volunteerism, thank you again. I mean, I'm sure you're getting a lot of thanks, but it's due. You should be getting a lot of thanks.
Thanks.
Every episode that we record is a pint, but before we're done with pints, we do shots. So parting shots of wisdom.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum. Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at optumfellowship.com.
If you leave the audience out there with one little thing to think about as they go forth into their career, this will be your third shot of wisdom that you passed out, what's something that they should keep near and dear to themselves?
I guess it comes from Dr. Rick Shields' Mary McMillan lecture yesterday, and the part that just really shot to me was the power that we have as physical therapists to be able to now influence genetics even. There's the evidence that by us encouraging and increasing physical activity, you know, we can decrease the expression of those atrophy genes, that we can increase the recovery rates in people.
And going back to your talk, neuroplasticity. You're not a neurosurgeon, but you can change how the brain is shaped and works.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's great.
It's fascinating.
Parting shot of wisdom. What do you got for us?
I would say, and this is probably geared more towards the early professionals, folks that are graduating. It's great to have graduated, but it's just beginning, and it really is a journey. I mean, you hear that all the time, but it's so true. And, be open to learning, and adopt the attitude of lifelong learning, and always vet it. Make sure it's good information.
Because there's a lot of people out there who want to be, and I'm using air quotes here, mentors, and they'll charge you for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not the best angle to go with, but that's a good point.
So that would be my advice, and I kind of learned that the hard way, because I thought when I graduated 20-some-odd years ago when I graduated, I would know everything. And I learned real quickly how erroneous that thought was.
Yeah.
Because there was so much I didn't know.
Sure. More you learn, a little less than a year out, more you learn, the more I'm like, oh, I got so much else. If as soon as I open this, there's another can of worms behind it. Right. But it's called commencement. That's
exactly.
A beginning,
it's a beginning
for graduation.
Indeed.
It sounds corny because it gets set every year, but it's true. That's why it's right. That's why it's set every year.
So, and it's very, I think, a simple thing, and most might just dismiss that. But I think if you follow that, you'll go far in the profession.
I like it. It's a good frame of mind to stay in, and it's easier to practice when you see things through that particular lens. Gentlemen, can't wait for your talk tomorrow. Appreciate you guys coming on the show again. Congratulations again on the award. I expect great things. I want to hear more about as we go forth with more in technology. Tech's not going away.
Exactly.
We're going to hear more of that.
Right.
So guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank
pleasure.
You. Thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey, PT Podcast listeners, I'm Eric Mara.
And I'm J.W. Matheson.
And we're from PT Inquest, a podcast that is also a journal club. Each week, we review and dissect a recent article that applies to physical therapy practice.
Or physiotherapy, as the weirdos on the other side of the pond call it.
Yeah, which pond are you talking about?
The Atlantic, or the Pacific, even Canada for that matter, everywhere but here.
Right. So check us out on the PT Podcast Network at ptpodcast.com.
You can become our seventh listener.
Yeah, J.W., we're down to five now. Steve stopped listening because he was getting annoyed with all your puns.
No puns. That reminds me of a sad story today. Abandoned cheese factory in France. It blew up. Horrible explosion. All that was left was debris.
Yeah, on second thought, probably better for people not to listen to the show.